Morning, church family. It's good to be with you all and just come to you in the name of Jesus, just thanking him for who he is and, yeah, what blessings we have because of what he has done for us. I'm thankful that he has promised to be with us and keep us and that he will minister to our hearts, and we can believe that and hold on to that this morning. Not quite sure what all God has for us this morning. Told my wife yesterday, I said, I feel like I'm just putting a bunch of words down and just going through the motion, and I don't like that. And that was one of my prayers from the very start, was that whenever I preach, it will be coming from a heart that's connected with the message. And I want to get that just turned on here real quickly, but is there a couple versions to sitting at the feet of Jesus, or do we know that by heart enough to at least sing a verse of that? Do we know that by heart to sing a verse of that? A few wavery hands. This sitting at the feet of Jesus, let's try. I'm going to start, hopefully I don't start on a different tune or anything, but... Sitting at the feet of Jesus, oh, what great joy to hear him say. I love that song. I love the message of that song, and that's my prayer each time that we get together, that it will be a time of sitting at Jesus' feet, learning from him, hearing what he has to say, and that as I share, that it would be not just simply my message, but it will be a message coming from the heart of Jesus and what he has for us. I was challenged, I think it was last week sometime, I believe it was, Matthew 25. And as I was just thinking about the end of the year here, I think this might be my last message for this year, if I'm not mistaken, unless God has plans otherwise. But the Matthew 25 is a parable of Jesus 1 through 13. And the challenge that came to me was the presence needed, the fuel needed for the bridesmaids, and how there was choices, and how, that some made the right choice, some did not, and the results of that. And as we are thinking about coming towards the end of this year, obviously there's a lot of activities planned before the end of the year, Christmas and all that, but what presence is fueling our lives? I would like to, if we can, shortly here, I'm going to ask you to kneel. And I want you to picture yourselves going into the throne room of God, coming into all his glory and all his holiness, as Hebrews says, that we can come boldly into the throne of grace. There's three questions I would like you, all of us, to ask as we come into the throne room before a holy God, before Jesus, is three questions. How do you see my life? What presence is fueling me? And what do you want me to change? I'm going to read that again. Three questions. How do you see my life? What presence is fueling me? What do you want me to change? As we just sang that song, Sitting at the Feet of Jesus, sometimes as human beings, we have this fear of God. And yes, if there is sin in our lives, that is a healthy fear of guilt and God, what about my life? But there also can be a healthy fear of reverence and respect and love. And God, you want me here. And so as we come into His presence and we sit at His feet, ask these three questions. How do you see my life? What presence is fueling me? And what do you want me to change? Let's just kneel and ask God these three questions. Our Heavenly Father, we just bow before you. We come into your awesome holy presence, your glory wafting all around us. Your beauty is indescribable. God, you want us to come boldly. You want us to come with open hands. We cast our crowns before you. We look up to you, Jesus, and thank you for what you've done for us. And God, we ask these questions. How do you view us? We ask the question, what presence is fueling our lives? And we honestly ask, God, we ask because we want to know and we want to change. What do you want us to change? God, we want to be found faithful unto the end because you love us and you desire that from us. And we want the same. And I just pray that you would just minister to our hearts this morning. Anoint this place. May your presence come down and touch each of our hearts because you're awesome. You love us, you have a plan for us, and you want to be glorified as we step from these doors and amongst each other while we're here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All righty. I trust that God will continue working and moving in our hearts. Trust that He will be honored and glorified, and that we can just think a little bit this morning about sustaining presence. Sustaining presence. These bridesmaids, 10 of them went out. They had plans. They had anticipation. They had hope. And they had belief. And each one of them had the same thing, fuel in their lamps. But five of them planned, five of them just went carelessly. I have the verses up here, but I would like to just read it in the NLT. My Bible app on the computer doesn't have NLT, so I just put it in the KJV there for you. But I want to just read it here out of the NLT, verses 1 through 13 of chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough oil, olive oil, for their lamps. But the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by a shout. Look, for the bridegroom is coming. Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. But the others replied, we don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourself. But while they were going to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went with him in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he called back, believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return. Now, we can look at this in two different ways this morning. Obviously, we can look at this in a way that if your life is not right, beware. Be alert. Look at your own heart. On the other side, we can look at this and allow the Holy Spirit to confirm in our hearts that you are my child. You are who I want you to be. And you are staying close enough in communion with me that you will have what it takes to endure to the end. At the beginning of this year, my first message, I believe it was on discernment. Seeing through God's eyes, not our own eyes, and being able to see underlying what is going on. Discerning, seeing external behavior, but yet also seeing underlying what is feeding those external things. Also just being able to discern between what is right and what is almost right. And as I thought about this and preparing this message, I thought over our year, wow, what a year of discerning, needing to discern, needing to sense what God is wanting. And as we think about this message this morning, and one reason I kneeled here was because we want to be discerning. God, what is happening in our hearts? The end of the year is almost here. Will we be able to step into the next year with you? But not only that, life is going on. Will we have what it takes to go on and pass on the baton to the next generation? We just had prayer this morning for somebody wanting a divorce. They said, you know what? My fuel has run out. I'm done. I'm going to take another route. Horrible tragedy. But believers, people this morning, God has what we need. For each one of us, God shows us individually what we need to hear. Let's listen. Let's change. Let's be filled with His presence. As we read here over Matthew 25, there's a lot of things that we can pull out of here in this parable. The bridesmaids were on a precipice of something big. There was a change coming. They were experiencing a love. They were realizing a feasting was going to happen. They were going to experience acceptance. They were wanted. There was newness. There was perfection coming. They were on a precipice of a huge change. They were nearing the end of what was known to begin things that are unknown. There was initial preparation that was taking place in their lives. But as always, things were getting long. Things were getting tiring. The same thing was happening day by day. They were experiencing drowsiness and they were starting to fall asleep. Same things were happening day in and day out. Zeal was beginning to wane. Who is the bridesmaids? Who is the bridegroom? What are the lamps? What is the fuel? What does it mean to take extra? What is the thrust of this parable? What does this require? And why the delay? Is that important? Think about it a little bit. If the bridegroom would have came right away, they all would have been ready and went in. Why the delay? Is that important? Are we experiencing the same thing today? I like to think a little bit about practicing the presence. In Isaiah 7:14, came across this verse this week in my devotions, and I love the last word, Emmanuel. All right then, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She shall give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We think about sustaining presence. We think about the fuel in our lives. We think about how life can get tiring and long. We think about, God, why don't you just simply come back? God, what about those who we know for sure aren't ready? What about those that are in a church And they look like one of us. Who will each one of us be ready for that time? But it says, Emmanuel, God with us. And we can hold that true today as we process this. And you might look at this as a duty and, okay, a checklist, or, you know, if we get all the right things right, then we will have a sustaining fuel. Or we could look at this as an intimate relationship with Jesus, with our Father God, that He will, is with us, and He will give us what we need. Emmanuel, God with us. I see a love relationship in these verses. And if you don't see that this morning, and you're struggling with, where is my relationship with God? I pray that God's Holy Spirit can just anoint your heart this morning and saying, and you can hear Him saying, I want you. I want you. I am here with you. And that you'll be able to just connect with that this morning. Because I see in these verses a love relationship. Jesus desiring to be with the one He loves. But He also wants to make sure that the one He loves is prepared, is ready to be with the one they say they love. As you think about the delay in these verses, and you think about the delay in our lives this morning, think about it in this way, that He loves you so much that He wants your heart prepared for whenever He does come back. And the five foolish did not see through that. I don't know what all they were saying. They could have been saying, that's a big joke, or, you know what, we got this here. He's going to be coming anyways, so what else do we need? They were reckless about it anyways. And they did not care enough to be ready for the one they say they loved, and for the one that loved them. Times of testing is needed to prove the commitment, to strengthen the ties, and to increase the desire of connection. I remember dating, and my wife lived in Ohio, and I was in PA, and there was 6 hours or 7 hours between us, and I think it was every other weekend or something, and boy, that long time in between, people say, you know what, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And I didn't know if I always believed that or not, because, well, I guess I did, because it kept making my heart grow fonder. So I guess it was happening, but the time in between seemed like a drag. But think about it in our spiritual relationship with our Father God. And we at times wonder why the testing, why the drowsiness, why the almost like I don't care at times, or the delay that is happening. And He's saying, I'm preparing you. Because you say you love me, I want that love to go deeper. And I want that love to increase. And so that when I do come back, you are ready for this time. We see also in this parable that there was lamps and there was fuel. This verse here, I pick out because you see in here, this verse, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You look at your lives, you say you're a daughter of so-and-so, or you're a son of so-and-so. How is that true? Because inside of each one of us, there is a God-given connection that ties you to that family. And so it is here in this verse. It says, we are sons of God. There is something inside of us that ties us directly to our Father God as believers this morning. And that is the Holy Spirit, that seal that is set upon our hearts, that's saying, you are a daughter, or you are a son of God. And because of that, we have a life that is radiating out and showing the world around that we are sons and daughters of God, that we are who we are. It's in our words, it's in our attitude, it's in our as some people say, there's a vibe, I guess, that term. There is something coming off of our lives that is showing others around. And I believe that's what this lamps here in this chapter 25 is talking about, that there is a lamp in each one of our lives, our testimony, our lifestyle, our way of doing life. Radiate, as it says there, you shine as lights in the world. Because of that connection that we are sons and daughters of God, there is a light coming forth, lamps shining forth. And what is that making those lamps bright? What is that? It is the life of God. It is the life, that fuel. And we wonder what that lamp is and that fuel. The lamp is our lives, our testimony shining forth. That fuel is the life of God, the Holy Spirit just shining in and shining forth from our lives. As sons, there's something inside of us identifying who we are, and that shines forth the life of God. The type of fuel is the source of whether we're experiencing light or darkness. That's, again, why I ask you to ask the three questions. What presence is in your life? What fuel is shining forth? Is it that connection with God where there is light radiating forth? Or is it something else that's creating darkness and disconnect? The fuel for true Christians should be God. God is or should be the Christian's fuel for life and light. These 10 bridesmaids went out. They all went forth with the same thing, a connection with God. They both were anticipating the bridegroom's return. They both had what it took to meet him. But he said, the bridegroom said, I want to know who will be there for me for the long haul. I want to know who has a heart prepared for when I'm returning. I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know if the future looks long and you're getting drowsy. I don't know if the future looks unbearable and you don't know what it means or what it's going to take. But right now, I believe that you have a heart that is fueled by the Holy Spirit. And is it being prepared to go for the long haul, to be there after the drowsiness is gone, after you are awake again, after you went through the time of testing, through that valley of the shadow of death? Are you wanting that fire, that fuel, to still be there? The sad part is that not everyone that is part of a church community or says they are a believer has God as their source for fuel or will endure to the end. This is the reality. But the truth of life lets you and I this morning choose well. Choose well. I see in these verses here intentionality just pouring forth, just coming forth saying, I love you, bridesmaid. We are the bridesmaid this morning, the church. And Jesus saying, I love you, and I have everything that you need, and I want you to go on and be there through the drowsiness. There was just four words that came to my mind as I thought about practicing the presence. Practicing the presence of Jesus, there were four things that came to my mind. I'm just going to share them with you. Open. Opening our hearts and our minds to Father God's presence. We see that the 10 initially did that. And if we're all here this morning and are believers, we have initially did that. Opening our hearts and our minds to Father God's presence. But then there is an opening every day with a time of relating with Him. An everyday experience saying, I want to know you. I want to experience you. Thankfully, He understands that we don't always get that accomplished. But is our heart bent that every day we are opening up our hearts saying, I want you, God. I want to know you. I want to know what my life looks like to you. And I believe there's an opening up of your heart, our heart, saying, asking Father God, show me the clutter to clear out. So your heart can inhabit your presence. So even if you don't have that time of actually sitting down and you didn't get it accomplished, could you say, God, what's my heart look like to you? Is there some kind of clutter there? Maybe some time wasters, maybe some things that aren't necessarily wrong, but they're just simply cluttering it up and kind of pushing your presence out of the way? Or maybe there is something there and you need to answer that for yourself, that it is directly wrong. And you know it, and you're struggling with it. You say, God, I don't know what to do with this. I don't like it, and I don't want it there. Can you show me how to get rid of it? That opening, that open. The next word is listen. Listening with a willingness to obey His words to you. Listening requires attention. Sometimes in married life, there's times where we listen. Our ears might be hearing something, but our mind is running elsewhere. And that can happen. Even in a spiritual relationship with God, we can be maybe praying with Him, talking to Him, but our minds might be running elsewhere. Or we might say, this is what I want to hear. And you're hoping that that's what you hear. But listening requires attention. Like, focused. Listening requires trust. Father God wants listening out of love, not out of selective hearing. God, I love you. Because I love you, I want to know exactly what you're saying. Speak to my heart. Openness, listening. Both listening and openness is a form of meditation in the presence of our Father God. It's a form of meditation. It's a time of just coming before Him and just allowing His Holy Spirit to speak with us and we speak with Him. That just back and forth processing together. And I'll be the first to be honest with you that that's something that's hard to do. I like to do it while I drive, but driving requires a lot of other attention too. And I encourage us all as a body of believers this morning that we have that time of meditation where we come and just opening up our hearts and then we just listen. Open up our hearts and we listen. That giving out and that receiving in. That giving out and that receiving in. Opening, listening. That just processing with God. The next one is walk. Walking in the presence of Father God. Walking with God requires first openness, then listening. Than faithfully obeying. It's an interaction between Father God and His children. He's saying, this is the way, walk in it. And you walk with Him in that. You obey Him in that. And you say, yes, yes, yes. Open, listening, and walking. It's that interaction between Father God and His children. His children aligning their lives, choices, and heart with His will through prayer and worship. As we come in there and we open and we listen, and then we start walking with Him. As we walk, we are aligning ourselves with who He is and what He wants. And we do that as we talk with Him and as we worship Him. And as we say that you are God and you deserve everything my life has. And I just want to walk with you in obedience out of love. And connection, allowing my life to line up with you, God. It's an intimate communion, not a religious activity. And I want that to be, that's why I said earlier in this message, that this could be a checklist or a I have to do it. Got to make sure I get this right. And that's why I put this here. It's so important. It's not just simply a religious activity. It comes out of a relationship. This opening, listening, walking. It's that intimate communion, not a religious activity. I had to think of Enoch. And I would love to know more about that man. Because he said he didn't have to taste death. He just simply was taken out because he walked with God. As one man that was specifically mentioned that he walked with God. What did that look like? Especially for today in 2025, where we have hours of activity and duty and requirements and so much interaction with other things and other people. What did that look like for Enoch to walk with God? And we can ponder that, or we can say, God, I want to walk with you. What does that look like for Dan Miller in 2025? And you put your own name there. What does that look like to walk with you? Walking with God, our lives will begin to imitate the life of Jesus. They say walking is important physically. And I know there's people that can walk a lot of steps. And I'm one that doesn't. But I believe and I've seen the results of people that walk, things change in them physically. And that's good. And so it is, walking with God spiritually. We start to change and we start to look more like Jesus every day. And the last word is rest. Rest. I like this word for me physically. I love when I can get a full night of sleep. It's a wonderful thing. Rest is good. Experiencing rest and the ability to simply rest in His presence. And I'm thinking of rest as we live daily life. We're experiencing a rest in our hearts. But then also as we come to Him, sometimes it's hard for us to give up and hand over so we can rest in His presence. This morning when we knelt there and you asked God those three questions, I don't know if something came to your mind or not. Maybe it will come later. But will you be able to give that over? So you can rest. Will you be able to say, God, I want to experience rest on a daily timeline. God, I want to give this now so I can rest right here in your presence. Experiencing rest and the ability to rest in his presence. I love this verse, Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted on the earth. This verse speaks of rest. Rest comes as we learn to know who God is and we're able to give him our confusion and our stress. And I believe that's what that verse is talking about, being still before God. When we are still before God, we come in with open hands and open hearts. And for us, maybe as men, and I don't know, ladies too maybe, it's hard to open our hands and just distill our hearts. Yesterday as I was writing, I was feeling frantic. I was feeling like I got to get this done because there was a few other things that I desperately wanted to do also. But I had to keep telling myself, God, this is your message. This is your time. Still my heart. I don't know if I used that word or not, but anyways, that's what I meant. Well, still my heart and just simply show me what to put down here. And that's what we need to do, each one of us, in whatever we're experiencing. If we want this rest, we need to be able to still our hearts and know that I am God. Because as we know who God is, then we can start giving him that confusion and that stress. Rest comes as we stay in his presence. As we are still before him, that rest can flood our hearts and our minds. There's different things that we as a family are walking through. And there's times where I want to become frantic and I'm like, I want this to be this certain way and done at this certain timeline. And there's times where either my wife reminds me or Holy Spirit reminds me that you got this. Or God says, I got this. Just simply rest. The time, my timing is right. And it will come through when it's time to come through. That being still before Him where we can just rest and say, all right. I don't know what it all looks like, but we're going to rest in this here. Being still. And I love the verses, and I don't believe I put it down. No. But Exodus 33, 14 and 15. If you want to look that up, you can do that. Moses was desperate. Moses was intentional about allowing God's presence or desiring God's presence to go with him no matter what. Moses experienced rest as he experienced God's presence, and he did not want to go anywhere without him. In Exodus 33:14, he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. That was a promise from God to Moses. Then Moses said in verse 15, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. That, my friends, is powerful, is a deep-hearted desire that I will not go anywhere without God's presence. If your presence, God, can't go with me, I'm not going on. Because, God, your presence is what I need. Your presence is what I have to have. And your presence is the only way I will move forward. And Moses said, don't take me up if you're not going with me. Rest. Moses realized the fuel for his lamp came from experiencing God's presence. Fuel in our lives is the life of God in us, the Holy Spirit and his presence. Some things to just stop the hindrances of his presence. So if we want God's presence, are there some things that we just need to stop? Do you feel like the fire is getting dim? The fuel is getting low? Stopping the drain from our lamps requires honesty and humility. Do you sense that things are draining in your life? Do you sense that you're getting drowsy in your Christian walk with God? Do you sense that this is not where I want to stay? I want to change. Then stopping the drain from our lamps requires honesty and humility. Do you see negligence, passivity, laziness, or unhealthy confidence? We can have two spectrums. We can have control and dictator, unhealthy confidence, or we can have negligence, or we can just be simply passive. I don't give a care. Or laziness, like, you know what? I'm not doing anything about it. These external drains of the fuel of God can be what could be the underlying hole in the heart? Is there fear? Is there shame? Fear and shame are two huge things. Or could there be guilt? Or maybe pride? Could these four holes in one's heart be what's draining one's life? These holes in one's heart maybe could be from abuse, woundedness, sin, or agreement with lies. And those things can drain us and drag us down. We can look at the externals, the neglect, the passivity, the laziness, the unhealthy confidence, dictatorship, control, whatever. And we say, I got to change this. Cannot be anymore. We're going to deal with that right there. You can deal and white knuckle that. But if you do not get to the underlying issues of what is going on, whether it's fear, shame, guilt, pride, or if there's some other words you want to put in there, and even looking at how did that happen and dealing with it there, saying, I forgive, or I allow you, God, to take this from my life. God, I will not agree with these lies anymore. And that's why this verse is so important. John 8:31, and Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We can white knuckle the externals, but if we do not deal with the woundedness and the holes and the fear and the shame or the guilt and the pride in our lives, that draining is going to keep happening. And we need to know what the truth is. And God is always faithful. Jesus is always faithful to come and show us what is happening with those holes in our lives, causing the drain of the fuel of God's presence. If the five foolish bridesmaids could have been honest about their lives, the drains that they were experiencing, would they have been ready for the groom's return? It's a question you can ponder. But I believe it's a question that could be answered honestly if this was a parable, this was simply an example, but each and every person, if they're honest and want to hear the truth and know the truth and be honest about the holes in their lives, yes, the fuel can remain and the fuel can be a reserve in our lives and be ready for the bridegroom's return. Was the delay to see if they could be ready? We do know that the scripture says that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And I believe in our lives, God is saying, I want to change this one more thing in your life. Will you be honest with me? Will you be humble with me? Do you want to hear my truth to you? Is life feeling empty? Is there a lot of things dragging at you? Ask God to show you the holes in the areas that need healing, so the life of God can stay plenty in your life. This verse I have used often in my sharing of messages because I love this verse. It will never get old. And I thought I had it. There we go. Jesus longs for our lives to remain whole so his life can remain in us. He wants that our lives to be made whole. And when a whole, as far as H-O-L-E, is revealed in our lives, he wants to heal that and renew that so your life can be whole, W-H-O-L-E, whole for him, so his life can remain in you. And it says here that he wants to heal the brokenhearted. That is the emotional healing. He wants to preach deliverance to the captives. He wants to set those that are in captivity to strongholds, addictions, or whatever in their lives. He wants to set them free. And he wants to recover sight to the blind. That is, recovering sight to the blind is spiritual eyes being open, our hearts being open, so we know what is truth in our lives. And he wants to set liberty them that are bruised. That could mean, I believe, multiple different aspects, whether it's emotional bruising or whether it is actual physical healing. He wants that in our lives. As we near the end of this year, are you and I intentional with our lives, making sure that they are built well so that we can be found faithful to the end? Are we being watchful? Are we aware? Are we vigilant? Are we aware of the little foxes that can spoil the vine? Are we aware and watchful of what is coming into our lives? I hope you can read that. I did not take time to blur the background very much. But living intentional is living with a mindset and a heart posture of what our end goal is and making our decisions from that place. Living watchful is being vigilant, possessing awareness, at the same time resting intentionally close enough to our Father God's heart that we can hear him say, this is the way, walk in it, and well done, my child, you are enough. Last verse is out of that last verse that I read out of Matthew 25 is, watch therefore, for ye neither know the day nor the hour that the Son of Man cometh. We don't know what lies ahead for us. But we do know that the love of Father God is so great for us that he will speak to us. He will show us. And the thrust of the story of this parable and this message is live intentionally, staying filled with God. That's why I chose that picture. It looks like an ocean that is just full of water. And God wants us to live intentional that way, close enough to His heart that we can hear His whisper in our ear, walk in this way with God's presence this morning and always. Let's pray.